This is the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza.
Hey, 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 Yakshamash.
Club to you too, or whatever.
You know, really, I love your style. I love the way you edit things together. Well, thanks for noticing. It's a real pain.
We welcome to the show, Christian Leitner.
Yeah, I'm proud of my heritage, and my mother used to make a lot of delicious meals. Kapusta, funky, pierogi, all that good stuff. I put sour cream on everything, and so a lot of Polish tradition there.
Everybody, Yak Shamash, welcome to the Kielbasa King Sports Extravaganza here on Blog Talk Radio, of course, a part of Bucky's Fifth Quarter. Make sure you guys go to Bucky'sFifthQuarter.com for all your Wisconsin Badgers news, notes, discussion. Great weekend, obviously. Tons to talk about today. We'll keep the show pretty short, hopefully within an hour. Obviously, happy Final Four weekend to everybody. We'll talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Bucks and their some new color schemes. We'll talk probably a little bit of Milwaukee Brewers, maybe later if we have some time. But of course, it's the big weekend. You're looking at the fact it is the Final Four weekend. But your Wisconsin Badgers now going up against the Kentucky Wildcats today, and it's going to be a huge, huge game, obviously. Badgers looking for some to advance the national championship game. They have their goals set. Can they get to the championship game on Monday facing either Michigan State or Duke? And we are here now. I'm Jay Kokorowski, and we got the Polish Rifle Scott Wesniewski here. Happy Saturday, Scotty. And it's a great day. Obviously, the odds are in Kentucky's favor, undefeated, 38-1. But you have the Wisconsin Badgers, who many, even at the beginning of the year, said that if there was a team that was going to beat Kentucky, it could be Wisconsin due to their length and their height and with the experience. Your thoughts, your initial thoughts this Saturday morning talking about the Wisconsin Badgers playing, you know, for the possibility to go to the championship game.
Well, I mean, it's been a nice run for the Badgers. In fact, so far, they're around further along than I thought they were going to be. But Kentucky's 30-0, and they didn't get their beaten up on Missouri Valley Conference teams. I think the Badgers, you know, I guess the question, if you're asking me, do I think the Badgers have a shot to win? Sure, they have a shot. They're going to have to be near perfect for that to happen. They were near perfect last year. And they were unable to get it done because of a big three-pointer by Harrison at the end of the game. It's going to be a tall task.
Absolutely. It will be definitely be a tall task. It's going to be a tough task. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, you look at what the Badgers have. Obviously, one of the keys, and we'll break it down now, talking about some of the keys to this game. You're looking at the fact, right now, they always talked about, and Matt LePaven mentioned it yesterday on air, talking about that he's really worried about Kentucky's length. That's the biggest step, you know, biggest test for Wisconsin. If Kaminsky can get some down low looks, if he's not rejected, you have great defense with the Kentucky Wildcats. I mean, just right off the bat, you look at it, block shots per game. Karl Anthony Towns, obviously, averaging over two blocks a game. You have Willie Cauley-Stein, another guy with great length, averaging almost two blocks a game. And it's going to be a test for Kaminsky and Decker if they can slash, get to the rim, be aggressive, but still get a shot off. And if they can't find a shot, they can pass it off to the perimeter. And you have the simple fact that you have to hit certain shots. You have to have Goss, or you have to have Bronson Koenig, Uye Dukin off the bench, and even definitely Nigel Hayes hitting those threes. And it's going to be a big matchup there. I don't know. I'm excited for it. What are your keys to this game, Scotty?
Well, and I guess that's where the lead-in is when we talked about having to be perfect or near perfect. So you talked about the bench and you talked about the guys that can come off the bench for the Badgers. And that's great. But if you have to go to your bench, Kentucky's bench is maybe the deepest bench in the country. I mean, they've got two full squads of All-Americans. So if it comes down to a battle of the benches, that's not going to bode well for the Badgers. If Kaminsky gets in foul trouble or Dicker gets in foul, if somebody gets in foul trouble and they got to go to their bench first, and you know, that's where the margin of error, you know, we talked about it. It's razor thin. I mean, they're going to have to be as perfect as they're going to need to be, and we're going to find out if they can do that. But that's what's scary about this Kentucky. They're like I said, they're one of the better teams that we've seen in quite some time. I mean, you know, we don't see the powerhouses, and this is the truth. I mean, basketball, college basketball, isn't as talent laden as it was 10 years ago because teams don't stay together. You don't see major conference teams full of juniors and seniors. The Badgers are one of the rare exceptions, you know, that keep their play. So to see a team that's as dominant as Kentucky, it's one of those things where you're like, wow, we don't see teams like this anymore like we used to. Remember when you'd have the Duke and Kentucky, Louisville and North Carolina all, you know, Final Four every year, and other teams that were just as good but just couldn't crack those four, you know. This Kentucky team's good, and it's going to be very interesting to see what the Badgers are able to do. Like I said, the Badgers had them on the ropes last year. They had them, and they just couldn't knock them out. And I'm afraid that could be the thanks. I'm afraid that, you know, that could be a carbon copy of last year's game. I hope I'm wrong. You know, like I said, the Badgers keep finding ways, but it's one of those things where you know, people all week have been saying, yeah, hey, you know, Badgers have a shot. Badgers have a shot. Yes, like, and again, sure, a shot. But I put it at maybe 20%. You know, if they play each other five times, I think the Badgers can beat them once. Hopefully this is the one, right? This is the one that matters. So we'll find out.
Yeah, and, you know, within that, it's you know, it's going to be a tall task. And a lot of people, I mean, Kentucky's a five-point favorite heading into the game. You mentioned the depth, mm-hmm. and that's big. You look at the fact you have – 8 McDonald's All-Americans, and just taking a look too, Scotty, when you break that down, in terms of minutes per game, Aaron Harrison, no, it's actually Willie Cauley-Stein that leads the team for Kentucky in minutes. He only averages 26, not even 26 minutes a game, and Aaron Harrison's right next to him at 25.7. You have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, like you have 8 players that average at least 20 minutes a game.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then you have Dakari Johnson at about 16. So I mean, you have it, you know, you're too deep. If you're talking in football terms, you're too deep in terms of players that have significant playing time. And you have. Go ahead.
And that's why they're dangerous, because I mean, you saw it against Notre Dame. Like, you know, you've got them on the ropes, but they can keep throwing fresh bodies at you. Meanwhile, their opponents, you know, they're fighting. They're either staying in the game or staying ahead or just a little behind. But they're exhausting all this energy while trying to stay with Kentucky. And Kentucky's in here, and here's some more fresh bodies. Here's some fresh legs. I'll try to run with them. And that's why they're able to close out teams, because they're so fresh. But while other teams have used their 6 or 7 man rotation and exhausted as many minutes as they could from them, not Kentucky. You know, so, and the other thing that people have overlooked a little bit, and I think it's important, if you look at the locale, Indianapolis, and from what I heard on the secondary ticket market, it's going to be a very heavy Kentucky following in Indianapolis. So, not quite like a home game, but certainly a little bit more of a fan advantage. So, you know, and you expect that. Kentucky's one of the top 2 programs in the nation. So you know they're going to travel well anyway, but, I mean, Indianapolis to Lexington is only a couple hours. So, you know, so you've got that. And I'm not saying that there won't be Badger fans there. They travel very well, too. But Kentucky's Kentucky, man. I mean, they're the Alabama of, you know, what Alabama is to football. That's what Kentucky is to basketball. You know, they're the bell cow, so to speak. So there's going to be a little of that, too. There's certainly going to be a fan advantage. There's going to be a lot of people there, that more people there wearing blue rooting for Kentucky than, you know, rooting for the Badgers. So they got a little bit of that to overcome, too. You know, and it comes down to what we talked about when we talked about the Arizona game. How's this game going to be officiated? You know, are they going to officiate it to the style the Badgers like to play, which is, you know, they're going to rough it up a little bit, you know? Because if it's a tightly called game, as I mentioned, now you get guys in foul trouble, and then you end up going to the bench, and then that's lights out, you know? So, again, razor-thin margin for error for the Badgers if they want to win this game. Again, I think the Badgers right now, looking at all, even Duke, who beat the Badgers earlier, I think the Badgers right now are the second-best team in the NCAA. But, unfortunately, today they're playing number one, and we'll see how that pans out.
It's true. And looking at the fact, you know, even looking back, just a quick look back at that Arizona game from Saturday, having the fact that what they shot, I think it was 79% from the field in that second half. You talk about those moments to get you to that game against a very talented Arizona team. It's one of the, and Sean Miller again being closed out of his chance of leading a team to the Final Four. I think it's like his third or fourth chance already that he's had to reach the Final Four in his time at Arizona. He's actually a former Wisconsin graduate assistant, and back in the early 90s, and he, and you saw what the Badgers did when you can get hot like they were, and when you have Decker with that ice cold three at the end to pretty much ice the game for, as Wayne Larrabee called it, the dagger, utilizing his Green Bay Packers call from his days doing the play-by-play announcing for the Packers still. So it's, yeah, with the way this team is built, I mean, I think they're motivated. I mean, let's talk about real quick, Scotty, about their attitude in terms of how this team. I don't know if you had a chance to see some of the press conference from earlier this week. Obviously, it's like the wear and tear. I mean, it's, you know, kind of like, you know, they've been asked the same questions and whatnot. But this team, you know, some of the questions, just having fun with it and being a really loose group of guys talking about video games and all that. And the next thing you know, Bo Ryan starts talking about being a pinball king back in the 60s. This team, it's really interesting to note, too, because Ryan said they can joke about it now, but when they get on the court, this team gets focused in, and he doesn't have any troubles breaking down the difference between both, you know, between the playful side of the team, and then he doesn't have to enforce that on the, you know, a strictness on the court because all the players are focused. Would you say this is the best Wisconsin team that you've seen?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's I think that's the case. And as far as their attitude goes, I love it, and I'll tell you why. I believe in intensity on the court as well, and intensity, you know, during the season and while the game's going on. But you can't be intense, you know, Johnny Basketball for 7 days after that win. I mean, you can't do it. You'll drive yourself insane. So from that standpoint, I like the fact that they're able to cut loose and relax. You can tell they like each other. They love playing for each other. And most importantly, they seem to have, you know, the ability to have some fun and, you know, turn it on when they need to. And I think that's a sign of them being a veteran squad.
Absolutely. And you're looking now at, you saw last game against Arizona. Kaminsky had 29, Decker 27. In terms of stepping up against in this game against Kentucky, you have, we mentioned it, you know, Decker and Kaminsky obviously have to have big games. Who's your key X factor after that? Is it a Nigel Hayes who's hit that at times critical three-pointers during the tournament and throughout the season where he's headed that? Do you think it's more guard play within that in terms of getting Cannon going on his perimeter shooting and even Jackson, if he can contribute? Who's your X factor really besides those big two that can really get it done?
Well, I think you hit it right there when you mentioned Cannon, because in the NCAA tournament, it's always been, you know, the old saying is guard play wins the tournament. You know, guard play. And take nothing away from they're here because of Frank Kaminsky. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But when you get to the tournament,
the team who gets the best guard play. It's kind of like the NHL. When you get to the postseason, the hottest goalie seems to be able to carry you, okay? So in this case, it's guard play. And Koenig's been fine. He's been great. All these guys have been fine.
Yeah, and, you know, within that, you have – you know, you look at this team, too. You'll have to get those big minutes, I think, out of the bench when that's available. And if, like you mentioned before, if it becomes a game where you have the essentially a foul trouble, if Kaminsky gets in foul trouble, I mean, Vito Brown has been played very sparingly of late. I think he had his first minutes against Arizona, if I'm not mistaken, of the tournament. That was actually critical game time, you know, on the court. So they'll need... you know, Vito there, you know, if he needs to step up, I mean, if Kaminsky has that problem, you'll look at, you'll see that there. But can Showalter give you that loose, and I mentioned it yesterday, I did a quick spot on the big one with our buddy Marcus Paff on 95.3 WSCO yesterday afternoon. He asked me, I said, you have to have some of that play with Duye Dukin, who made a couple of plays, who's had some scoring ability of late. That's been critical. But Zach Showalter, you know, pride of Germantown, really a great, you know, story of late. And he made, you know, making some steals, some, you know, he's had some, you know, four consecutive points. Just the hustle from him, I really think that they'll need that from him too. And, you know, I think another point too, Scotty, you're looking at that, you know, Kentucky, you know, you listen to some of the national media, like Shane Battier mentioned, hey, this team for Kentucky doesn't necessarily rebound defensively that well. So if the Badgers can get, you know, if they miss those shots, and they can't be, by the way, 7 of 23 from three-point range to beat Kentucky. They're not going to be 79% from the field like they were in the second half against Arizona. But somewhere in the middle where you're, you know, you're shooting 45%, you know, at least 40% from three-point range, in my opinion, they have a chance. But if they can get those second-chance points with Kaminsky, if they can get Decker, and they can crash those boards, I really think they have a good chance. You know, I feel that way, and I mean, but it, I don't know. I it's exciting. I mean, how much, in your opinion, is this? I mean, for the state. I mean, back-to-back Final Fours. Being a fan, you know, we were all fans before doing this media thing. But you know, in the '90s, in the mid '80s, you know, Wisconsin basketball. Did you ever think that in like a 15-year time span you'd see the Badgers program get to three Final Fours in a 15-year span, let alone two back-to-back Final Fours? Scotty?
I'm sorry. My phone was I didn't expect it. And I'm obviously older than you, and I lived through some really, really bad times from both a football and a basketball standpoint. You know, I mean, and I'm not an alum. I went to Milwaukee. Sorry, but it is what it is. So,
oh, no, well, don't be mad at that.
But there was a time in the 80s where the Wisconsin athletic program was a joke. I mean, an absolute joke. And the only thing that kept them from being the joke of the state was that the Packers were a joke as well. So you got to understand how bleak things were when I was growing up, my teenage years, you know, my preteen and teenage years. It was bleak. Badgers couldn't win a game in football or basketball. The Packers were terrible just about every year. So, yeah, we came out of the abyss, and now we have perennial Badger football, Packer football, and now Badger basketball being a top 10, every year top 10 program. Even after they lose Kaminsky and Decker, they still can be a top 10 program next year. That didn't exist when I was growing up. You know, if they had a good year when they were close to 500, the next year they'd stink again. But Bo Ryan, and even before Bo Ryan, Stu Jackson did some good things with this team, started helping rebuild them. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
But now with Bo Ryan being there, you know, he's made this program not only a legitimate program now, but an absolute contender and a powerhouse and a team. I mean, since Bo Ryan's been there, what's his lowest finish in the conference? Fourth?
Yep.
So I mean, that tells you right there that every year they have a chance to win conference championship and be a Sweet 16 team. And with this current team, a Final Four team, obviously. But That's you expect that now. Now the expectation is, if you're not Sweet 16, what's wrong? What happened to this team? What's going on? And that's good. I'd rather have those be the expectations than, hey, maybe we'll win 8 games this year. So, yeah. So I've obviously seen it from a way different level than, you know, people younger than me have had it. You know, I think sometimes the younger generation, and I count you in that. You know, I think you guys are spoiled. You're like, oh, look at this badge. I'm like, boy. You didn't live through what we had to live through. So, you know, the Don Mortons and the Steve Yoders and some of the other garbage that was being produced every year in Madison. So it's great to see. It's great for the state, obviously. It's great to see. Even if you didn't go to Wisconsin, here's what I tell people. I like the fact that people can turn on SportsCenter and hear the name Wisconsin. Wisconsin, Wisconsin, Wisconsin. Because I'll tell you what, if SportsCenter was as big now, big in the 70s as it is now, Wisconsin would never, you'd never see highlights of Wisconsin because they didn't deserve them. So it's definitely nice to be on the other end of that coin.
Absolutely. And, you know, you bring up a point, and granted, you know, yeah, maybe some of my viewing when you had, you know, when, I mean, I remember those early days of in the early 90s with the Michael Finley, the Tracy Webster, the Rashard Griffin.
Mm-hmm.
You have those players that really, it was kind of the beginning. You set the standard there, and you start working your way up, and then obviously the Dick Bennett Final Four, which was more of a fluke, you know. I mean, being honest, I mean, but they played great defense. It was a, you know, that was Wisconsin's calling card, and they lost to Michigan State at that time in that Final Four. But yeah, I mean, I think people do realize, you know, there's a higher level of expectations now compared to what's been in the past. And it's not just, you know, for Badger basketball, but Badger football, like you mentioned. That's why you see some people get so upset about recruiting, even though they need to trust in the system more, in my opinion, obviously, because Bo Ryan and now Paul Chris know what they're doing. But, I mean, and even like the higher expectations for, and this has been around forever, but is Wisconsin hockey, which really still flourished despite a struggling athletic department otherwise back during those times. But even like, you know, you look at the Wisconsin hockey team for the men's side, at least the women's side did great in terms of getting to a Frozen Four, but you're looking at now the fact that the men's hockey team was what only had 4 wins on the year, and people are calling for Mike Eve's head. So yeah, there are higher expectations now. And, you know, and part of that, you know, obviously is due to the coaching where you have Bo Ryan, but let's just take a look and go even further. When we look at across the Final Four itself, the teams that these coaches, you know, work towards and build up. You have Bo Ryan. You have obviously John Calipari, who, you know, despite the stigma that he has and whatnot, in my opinion, Scotty, really just a good. I mean, what he does with these players year in and year out, even if they're quote unquote one and done or don't use up their full eligibility. What he does, and I mean, the fact that Kentucky's the best defensive team in the nation, one of the best in the nation, and what he does with these players. And like I said, no player averages over 26 minutes a game. No player averages over 11 points a game. Aaron Harrison leads the team with 11 points a game, and they're undefeated. You have to give him credit. Tom Izzo, what he does every March seems to be just a stroke of genius on his part, and getting a number 7 seed in Michigan State to the Final Four in Indianapolis. And, of course, Mike Krzyzewski from Duke, obviously having great, great career. His resume speaks for himself with USA Basketball, and also just what he's done at Duke. I mean, when you talk about great coaches, Scotty, these four really epitomize what college basketball is all about.
Well, okay, a couple things. First of all, this is why this is one of the most talked about Final Fours in a while, because, A, you got 4 great coaches, you got perennial powerhouse programs, and then Wisconsin, who's becoming that. But real big, quickly about Calipari, 2 things. 1, he's a cheater. But you make a great point, because everybody thinks, okay, so you get 5 or 6 McDonald's All-Americans, you should be able to win. But it's hard because you're taking freshmen in a lot of cases and you're getting them to buy into your system. You're getting them to buy into defense, which is hard enough to do anyway. And you're asking these McDonald's All-Americans, the guys who are stars in high school in your state to say, hey, you're not going to score 30 points. You're only going to be able to score 11 or 12. You're not going to play the whole game. And they're doing it, and they're winning games. The, you know, you don't have the egos that you would think you'd have where guys say, hey, I'm a superstar. What, you know, why would I only want to play 20 minutes? So, and to his credit, it's hard to get that kind of buy-in, and he's managed to do it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's, yeah, and like I said, there's that, you know, the stigma and whatnot. But, I mean, the fact of, you know, that he knows how, you know, he uses the system, and you said the selflessness of this team, of the Kentucky team. Obviously, you want all the obviously you want the Badgers to take it all the way, but you know you got to give a little bit of respect there for Kentucky, obviously, just based off of the record alone. But here's a question too. Marcus asked me yesterday, talking about if you, I mean, and like you, we alluded to this earlier. Just, you know, this isn't like the Missouri Valley Conference or the, you know, Ohio Valley Conference or the Sun Belt or another mid-major conference like the Horizon League or whatnot, not to discard our, you know, our friends over up in UW Green Bay and at Milwaukee, because that's a hard conference. But let's say you have Kentucky, and he said in the SEC, and the SEC obviously top heavy with Kentucky and maybe at times Florida, where you've seen Billy Donovan really play, you know, like he's won national titles down there in Gainesville. He asked me, he posed me the question of this in terms of, you have the, if Kentucky was in the Big Ten, do you think that there are another big time conference, ACC, you know, Pac-12, do you think that Kentucky would be undefeated? And I mean, my answer was, I think they would, you know, I think there might be a blemish. There would be more cause for a possible blemish, but the talent that's there in Kentucky, I wouldn't doubt them being undefeated still at this point.
You know, I think that they'd be, still be the number one seed. I think if they played in the ACC, they'd probably have a loss. Just because to me, the ACC is more of a meat grinder than the SEC, and even than the Big Ten this year. And what I mean by that is, there's plenty of teams in the Big Ten. Rutgers, one of them, although they beat the Badgers, but plenty of teams in the Big Ten, plenty of teams in the SEC that are a little bit more of a quote unquote night off. Maybe, you know, as long as you don't, you know, shoot yourself in the foot, you should be able to win with very little effort. There's not that many of those teams in the ACC, you know, because you could go, you know, you could have Louisville and then Duke and North Carolina and NC State and Virginia all in a row. And that's tough. That's tough to survive that, you know, if over the course of a whole year. So they might have a loss or two if they were playing in the ACC, but they'd still be a number one seed and likely would have won the ACC championship. But you know, I mean, would it, to me, the record matters if they go undefeated just because it's a great feat. But in the end, does the record matter? And what I mean by that is the Badgers are a three-loss team. But if they win a championship and Kentucky ends up 38-1, who cares? I mean, at the end of the season, unless you're undefeated and you're hoisting up the trophy, that the record doesn't quite matter. At this point in the year, the record doesn't matter. I mean, look at Michigan State's record. They're in the Final Four. They could, and I think they have a shot at beating Duke. So you could have that team going to the championship with how many losses do they have? Off the top of my head, Michigan State.
Oh, let me take a look. I don't know off the top of my head. I mean, No, you hit it right on the head. Let me take a quick gander on there. I mean, you know, the losses don't really matter at this time around, you know, but it's especially when they're playing, like when you have a team like Izzo's team playing so, you know, at their pinnacle right now, and how he gets them. They're 27-11. They're 12-6 in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I was going to guess 10. I'm glad I did it. I'm glad you did it. I was going to say, here's a 10-loss team, 11-loss team, I guess, who could be playing for a championship on Monday. So sometimes there's other factors in there. Getting hot at the right time helps. Getting healthy, getting everybody on the same page, you know, whatever the case may be. So, I mean, honestly, I'm hoping, and I'm it's really a hope, because I just don't think we're going to see this, but I'm really hoping for a rematch of the Big Ten Championship for a chance to hoist the ball. Because, A, it's obviously great for the conference if you get Michigan State and Wisconsin playing on the big stage. And of course, it's great for the state and it's great for Wisconsin. And, you know, and, yeah, and it's a maybe a better matchup, although I still think Wisconsin, I think if Wisconsin beats Kentucky, they're winning the championship. I think this is the winner of this game is going to walk away with the championship. That's just how I feel. But nonetheless, I think it'd be great to see an all Big Ten final, but I don't know that we're going to see that. I think we're going to see one team, but we're not going to see both. I could make a case for Wisconsin winning. I can make a case for Michigan State winning, but for some reason, I don't think we're going to see them both get there.
Yeah, I can echo your sentiments there. It'd be nice. Obviously, you saw what happened with the 80-69 Big Ten championship thriller that went to overtime, and the Badgers holding Izzo's team to, you know, no points in overtime a few weeks back. This team, yeah, it'd be great. I mean, obviously, Jim Delaney, the commissioner of the Big Ten, obviously has to be happy with the fact that you have two of the four teams being from the Big Ten. It was either going to be two Big Ten teams or two ACC teams, and Michigan State won out there. And I, you know, I really wondered to it'd be great to see. I'm actually a little more worried about Michigan State than Duke. I don't know why I say that. I think that maybe it's just the feeling
well,
that it would be
common opponent.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I mean, Izzo has seen not just this year, but you know, couple times they play Mississippi, but Izzo has seen Bo Ryan and kind of knows what to expect from this Wisconsin team. And Duke, yeah, Duke beat Wisconsin earlier, but it's not a common opponent. It's not somebody that they game plan for every year, you know. So, I mean, from that standpoint, I think you're right. I mean, Michigan State, you know, would have that on their side for sure.
And, you know, and with that, maybe we'll just go into our predictions. It's the top of the hour. It's 10 o'clock Central Time, about 11 o'clock Eastern Time if you're in Indianapolis. They're Eastern Time Zone. Give me your predictions for tonight's games. Obviously, you have Duke and you have Michigan State first, and then you have Wisconsin and Kentucky after. What are your predictions for each game? And then, I mean, we'll probably talk to people after the tournament. Your thoughts on the national title game?
Well, okay. I'm just, this is what my head is telling me, not my heart. I think Michigan State beats Duke in a close one, 2 points, 3 points, outlast Duke. And I think that Kentucky beats Wisconsin. Same thing, similar to last year. I think it'll be back and forth. I think in the end, Kentucky's too much, and I think they win by 2 or 3 points. So I think you're going to see two very good games tonight. And I think you'll get Michigan State, Kentucky, and Kentucky, I think, rolls in the championship if they're playing Michigan State by, like, 10, 12 points. So that's my prediction. I obviously hope that I'm not only wrong, but that we're talking on Tuesday and recapping a Badger national championship, because we will get together Tuesday if the Badgers win. If they don't, we'll just go back to our regular schedule. So, but, yeah, so I see Kentucky over Michigan State in the finals, but I think that the games are so close tonight that they could go either way, which is why I reserve the right to say that I could be wrong in my prediction, because they're going to be one possession games, I think both of them, and we'll see how they shake down.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for me, for what I'll say, too, and I'll stick with what I have for my brackets, and obviously it's the 1 year of being, quote-unquote, a homer actually sort of makes sense, depending upon that. I think Wisconsin has obviously a good shot. I know people are – you said 20%. I was hearing on the radio earlier today that they said, you know, people are giving like 35, 40%, depending upon that. Really, I think Wisconsin, I mean, like I said, it's just a one game. It doesn't matter how many times out of 10 it could be won. I think this team, it's going to be tight. It's not going to be a pretty game. I think there's going to be some fouls. I think Wisconsin's going to have to do some work on the glass and also avoid the length. You can't have Frank, you know, you've seen, you know, in parts of these games, Frank, you know, even during the Big Ten tournament, Kaminsky throws some errant passes. They average 7 turnovers a game. They have to cut that down, I would say, even down to, you know, possibly, you know, like 6 or 5 to make sure they stay on a par with Kentucky. I mean, if they play their game, if they play how they know how to play basketball, but play it well. Obviously, you can't be like Arizona. I think they can, and I'll say this in an upset pick. I think Wisconsin is looking to avenge last year, and I think they will do it. I think it'll be a tight game. I'll say like a 2-point game or even a 1-point game. Seeing how close last year's game was, I think they'll go on. And I think they'll go on from there, and I think they'll go on and beat. I'll say Michigan State. I can't do that with Izzo. I gotta give Izzo that credit there, and I think that he'll somehow find a way to beat Duke. I think we'll go Michigan State, Wisconsin for the national title game. And I think, and like you said, both these games can go either way. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it in the next day or two after that. But I think Wisconsin beats Michigan State. Bo Ryan gets his first title, and who knows, it might be also the day that, depending upon the Hall of Fame, this could be his Hall of Fame year too. It'd be a good way to cap off his coronation and his induction into the Basketball Hall of Fame with a championship.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what? We're at this crossroads, because you're going to have a champion crowned on Monday, hopefully a state champion. And you're going to have opening day on Monday. You've got the NBA playoffs right around the corner. And, the Bucks seem to have righted things. And they're looking good as they're going to head into the playoffs as likely the sixth seed. Good time, man. I mean, it's, again, we've talked about the Brewers. And we'll talk a lot about the Brewers as the summer rolls on. But, we predicted last week that they're probably a 79-80 win team. But that still doesn't temper the excitement as we go into the start of this year. You know what I mean? It's like, hope springs eternal. But I guess my point is, this is a really cool time of the year, and it's even better when you have a team in the Final Four. I mean, it just adds to the whole mystique of, baseball season starting and spring being in full swing, so to speak.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, then you have Masters coming up as well. I know you and I aren't necessarily the biggest golf buffs, but, that's that time of the year where you start seeing that kicking off too. It's good too, because it's Badger Final Four run. I mean, if their run ends early, you're kind of stuck in a kind of a weird, you have spring training coming up, obviously, with the Brewers, but you're still like, if their season ends 2 or 3 weeks ago, you still got like a couple weeks where it's the limbo, or you're talking about the draft, or you're trying to talk, it's a kind of a dead period. But you have now the Badgers kind of going to the Final Four, kind of like help the media out in terms of just not having a dead zone on that. And you mentioned Crossroads too, with the way things are going too. By the way, we forgot to mention too, congrats to Frank Kaminsky being given the Oscar Robertson Trophy for the, by the U.S. BWA, and then also winning the AP.
Throw it away.
AP Player of the Year. So, congrats to him.
You're talking about being in rarefied air. I mean, okay, you got a team in the Final Four, you got an AP Player of the Year. These are
two first round draft picks.
Yeah, two first round draft. These are things you expect from Kentucky every year or North Carolina every year. But we're talking about Wisconsin. Wisconsin being in a second straight Final Four and having the Player of the Year in Frank Kaminsky. Those are things that, again, I've lived, like we talked about at the outset, I've lived through the dark days. You would never have gotten me to believe that this could ever have happened.
Absolutely, absolutely. Real quick, your thoughts on the Milwaukee Bucks with their colors? You saw kind of the April Fools of them doing the Hunter orange type, the camouflage, and kind of a more Hunterish look, and then they kind of unveil a new color logo. And I had forwarded you on that official press release from what the Bucks had had sent out too. Your thoughts on kind of the color scheme and the new logo that and the brand, kind of the rebranding of the Milwaukee Bucks?
Well, I think, first of all, most of the people who are complaining about the logo changing, most of the people don't give two rats' rear ends about the Bucks to begin with. So I got into a couple of heated debates with some of my friends and colleagues, and I told them, you know what, they're not marketing this towards you. You don't care about them anyway. So you don't own any Bucks merchandise now. You're not going to own any new merchandise. So, you know, but my point was when I was talking to them, when I was trying to be reasonable, was every owner is going to try to put their stamp on their franchise. You know, they're trying to get an arena done, this new ownership group, but they want to also change things up. They want, this is their team, and they have the right to do it. And I'm kind of excited about it. I'm not so sure about the M logo there, but as long as they keep, you know, Bango somewhat incorporated, I'm fine with it. I'm interested to see what it's going to look like when it's all said and done and ready to be revealed.
Yeah, and I mean, that's one of those things, too, that you look at, I mean, it's what they're trying to do with the team. And obviously the M is supposed to be from, apparently from what I've seen on Twitter, might be actually a, you're looking at the fact that it's a buck hoof, you know, or like it's like a, like their, yeah, it's their hoof on the bottom of their, you know, of their legs. And maybe that's okay. What, something like that, like something to try to like anatomically correct compared to what a buck, you know, what the buck's anatomy look like or whatever a deer's anatomy is. But
sure.
Regardless, I mean, I do like the color. I think it's a different look. Obviously, there's a lot of traditionalists, you know, and you know, the purple and green years were not, I mean, obviously that's the year, those are the times I predominantly remember because that's when my, you know, young, you know, my from ages, what, like 10, 11 to the mid 2000s, you know, I had that, and basically that's where a lot of my experience was, and that purple and green, I wasn't necessarily fond of it, but you know, going back to the orange and the, you know, kind of the throwbacks and having those, that look people really embraced. But I think this, I mean, you're still keeping that green, but you know, the new look is going to be kind of good. I think it'll be good. And especially with what they're trying to do. And you've seen what, you know, Jason Kidd and, you know, what he's done in his first year, they're 38-38, you know, amazing job for a coach that, I mean, obviously they could be probably even better if they kept Brandon Knight, but they're building for the future with MCW. But no, it's yeah, I think it's a good sign, and you know, it's good to incorporate the Cream City. Granted, I don't know if anyone in Milwaukee actually refers to themselves as the Cream City, but I think it's a nice little.
Not anymore, I don't think, but it's still. I mean, they are. I mean, they are the Cream City, so.
It's true.
You know.
Very true. But you got anything else you want to talk about, brother, today?
Well, I mean, we want to talk about – quickly, we can talk some real quick, the Brewers opening day lineup. Gomez is going to be the leadoff hitter. Not really your traditional leadoff hitter, but the only real leadoff hitter they've had in the last probably, to be honest with you, almost a decade now, maybe 7 years, was Aoki, and he's not, you know, he's not with the team. So – They don't really have a true prototypical leadoff hitter. So even though Gomez is more of a power guy as far as I'm concerned, he's going to be tasked to be the leadoff hitter for this squad. And you know, because some people are upset, you know, say, well, blah blah blah. You know what? This has been a problem every year, and they still manage to be contenders for, you know, for the last 7 or 8 years. My point is, if they don't make the playoffs this year, they're not contenders. It's not going to be because they don't have a leadoff hitter. It's going to be a lot of other things that are going to lead to their demise. But so anyway, that was interesting. And then Adam Lind, of course, will be batting fifth, and Davis sixth, and you know, at least that's how the lineup shakes out. Kyle Loesch, your opening day starter. I like Kyle Loesch a lot. Deserves to be the opening day starter. You know, no way, shape, or form do I say what I say differently. However, that matchup on opening day, Loesch and I forget who started for Colorado now, but definitely not the pitching matchup of the day. I can guarantee you that. I mean, probably two of the, I hate to say work, because I think Kyle Loesch is a great pitcher. Two of the least likely number ones. Going at it at Miller Park on Monday. So, but again, that's just what this team is. I mean, this team has three number two or three guys, and then 2-4 guys. I mean, Fires and Nelson. I mean, they don't have that number one, you know, and we know that, and we knew that when they got rid of Gallardo, and Gallardo wasn't really number one anyway. So, On a great team, on a good team, Gallardo's a number two at best. You know, I mean, let's face it. We talked about it before. This guy can't get out of the sixth inning. How can he be an ace? You know, but nonetheless. So looking forward to that. I'll be out there for opening day on Monday. That'll be a lot of fun.
Great. Oh, I'm jealous. I'll be at work. But
well,
you know, but it's
well, every once in a while, I mean, I know that you've probably grown used to being, because now that you're the media star of this show, so every once in a while we get out to games too, but I'm not covering it. I'm just going as a fan. So
I'd rather I don't know, Brewer games and like Buck games. I think maybe it's just me. Maybe it's just me where it's like, I like covering Badger game. I mean, granted, I'm an alum. Maybe that helps me tone down the quote-unquote homerism being quote-unquote media, you know? Like, so I like covering games that route. But, I mean, going to a Brewer game or a Bucks game as a fan, I think, I mean, to me, I would love to go down there if I had any time to go catch a game. But, but enjoy yourself. It should be – do you know what the temperatures are supposed to be down there?
No, I didn't look yet. I'll look tonight, because they're never right. Every year they're usually not right until you look a couple days ahead. Here's the thing, though. I love going as a fan too. I usually, though, and even though I've only missed since 1986, I've only missed two opening days, either as a media guy, as a fan, or even as an usher where I worked for 2 years. I've been to every opening day but two. Okay, now I'm a fan. Huge fan, and you know my love for baseball. I hate opening day sometimes because it's not about baseball on opening day. Now, I'm going for the game. Like, my favorite part about opening day, and I know this sounds nerdy, is when all the players get introduced. You know, it's the only time all year, except for all-star games and playoffs, the start of playoffs, where the whole roster gets introduced. That's cool to me. Like, even when I was younger and more of a partier, I would skip the pregame drinking. I'm like, I got to be there a half hour before the game so I can see both rosters get introduced. Like, that's why I go to opening day. I can drink it. I live in Milwaukee. I can drink anytime, anywhere. I don't need a reason for a party. But opening day for me is about baseball. And unfortunately, I'm in the minority when it comes to that thought. So, but nonetheless, I'll enjoy it. And as far as weather goes, it used to be more of a big deal, but now that we have that beautiful retractable dome, not so much of a big deal anymore. But I remember at County Stadium, some 35-degree days with wind chills in the 20s and a light mist or a light snow-rain mix. Yeah, that was awful. I've sat through a few of those.
Yeah, no, it's – yeah, I'm sort of along the lines with you, too, with opening day or even just going to see a baseball game. I know there's a lot of tailgating and whatnot, but I really enjoy just watching batting practice even. Granted, you have to get there early, but just trying to catch a ball in the outfield, hopefully something I can do with ours – with our sons down the road. But yeah, I don't know. It you know, like you said, you can – I mean, this is Wisconsin. You can drink pretty much any time. But
– yes.
But, you know, to go out there and to go to a baseball game and to kind of just take in the atmosphere and take in the batting practice, I think, you know, you don't have the opportunities as much to do that. So,
and, you know, and I almost made a mistake because I was going to say that opening day is the one day that you're guaranteed to be in first place when the game starts. But this year that's not true because the Cubs and Cardinals play on Sunday. And one of those teams is going to have a half-game lead when first pitch at Miller Park comes at 1:00. So they won't. So I can't even say this year that the Brewers are guaranteed to be in first place when that first pitch is thrown, because they won't be. So
exactly.
However, they are guaranteed to not be in last.
Unless
there's that.
That is true. That is true. I just wish
there's
a way for
the Cardinals are playing. Yeah, so one of those teams is going to take a loss too. So there you go.
And this is where I just come in and wish that somehow they found ways to both lose at the same time. But that's just maybe the Brewers fan in me. But
hey, I'll tell you what, April's going to be a huge month if the Brewers are going to contend. They have all but three games in the month of April against division foes. You know, because you got you know, the Pirates over the weekend after the Rockies. Then you got the Cardinals, then the Reds, then the Pirates again. I mean, there's a lot of division games, a lot of divisional games. And if they fall behind and they start out, you know, with a record of like 8-15, they're in trouble because they're losing a divisional team. Now, on the flip side, if they can be just even 500, you know, even if they can be 14-14 at the end of the month, but know that they hung, you know, hung tight with the Pittsburghs and St. Louis's and Cincinnati's of this division, then, you know, then there's still going to be some hope. But if they get far behind and they're losing a divisional foes, they could be, you know, teetering on the brink at the end of April already. And obviously, that's the worst case scenario. I'm hoping for them to hover around the 500 mark. That would make me very happy just to get through this month.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else you want to touch base on? We, you know, we talk Brewers. Anything else that's come to mind for this week? Or
no, not really. I mean, I'm trying to keep it all in reserve because I'm keeping optimistic the fact that the Badgers are going to win a title and we're going to be talking again in the next few days. So that's kind of my hope, obviously.
not a problem.
Nothing on the Packers side to talk about. Free agency in the NFL, no major signings. It's been kind of quiet now as people are starting to get ready for the draft. The Bucks, we talked about them, a big win against the Celtics. They're likely going to face the Bulls in the first round of the playoffs in a week and a half or two. I mean, that's it. I mean, right now all eyes are on the Badgers, and Monday all eyes are going to be on the Brewers and hopefully the Badgers. I mean, that seems to be where everybody's attention is, and rightfully so, for the next couple of days.
Absolutely, and we'll get back to you guys. We'll let you guys know about our schedule coming up this week, depending upon if the Badgers can pull off the win against Kentucky. We wish you guys, those that celebrate Easter, a happy Easter.
By the way, when we get done here, I'm going to start assembling my basket to take for blessing, which is a Polish tradition. A lot of my friends, my even people who celebrate Easter, don't understand the blessing of the Easter baskets, but I don't know if you're familiar with it either, but I would hope so, being a fellow Pole. But
yeah,
so I'll be putting that together. Yeah, see, well, that's where I got the tradition from, my grandparents, and then my mom, and you know, now obviously I'm carrying it on, taking Ryder with me, and we're gonna go get our baskets blessed.
Great.
Yeah, see, Ryder approved.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, you guys, like I said, have a wonderful Easter, and to all those that are out there that celebrate it, enjoy. And then also, I just want to send out a big best wishes and good luck to former Badgers fullback Brady Ewing. Yesterday he announced his retirement from the NFL after a couple of injury-plagued years. He was last with the Jacksonville Jaguars last year, but was put on IR. So best of luck to him. For those of you who don't know, most of you guys know Brady Ewing, former walk-on, turned into a fullback during the years where, you know, Russell Wilson, Scott Tolzien, the time 2010, 2011, where he was one of the lead blockers and really even in his prep career was great. He was great. Richland Center, just west of Madison, the guy. I don't know if you knew this, Scotty, but Ewing actually had a walk-on offer from Bo Ryan to play basketball. He was that good of a basketball player. I mean, you know, for in-state to garner a preferred walk-on spot, but then he chose playing football instead. And so he's a great great guy. And every time I've talked with him, just a really humble guy. Him and his wife are good people. Wish him the best of luck. And hopefully one of these days we'll get him on the show actually, and just talk about, you know, his career and go from there. So best luck, Brady. And you know that wherever you go, you're gonna do so. You know, you know that you're gonna do something great. So on that note, we're just right towards the bottom of the hour. Guys, have a great week. Enjoy the game, or weekend, I should say. Enjoy the game. Enjoy family. And we'll talk to you guys soon. We'll let you know our schedule. Other than that, for the Polish Rifle, Scott Wisniewski, this is Jay Kokorowski for Bucky's Fifth Quarter. Make sure you follow us at B5Q, at Kielbasa Kings WI. Like us on Facebook. Have a wonderful Saturday, and hopefully we'll be talking about Wisconsin Badgers National Championship later coming up this week. Guys, take care. Enjoy the game.
Accordion solo, American Polka, played by Mr. John J. Kimball, Edison Records. ¶¶